Amen. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Certainly, God has blessed each of us who has assembled here today, this morning, at this time, for the purpose of worshiping Him as He directs us in His Word. I am mindful of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 5, verses 1 through 7. Where the psalmist says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." Indeed, it is a blessed privilege of God that we are enabled to worship Him. Certainly, it is good to see each of you present this morning. Surely, you could have been a number of other places doing a number of other things, but because of your commitment and your dedication to God, you chose to be here on this morning. We want to make you aware of the fact that you have a new sister in Christ who was baptized here on yesterday afternoon, and I'm speaking of Sister Gail Page. Is that you, Sister Gail, I see there? That's her right there. She is the cousin of Sister Vertie Davis. She was requested baptism for the remission of her sins. Vertie had been talking with her about the need for her obeying the gospel, and Brother Gary Davis had also been conversing with her, and she decided on yesterday that she wanted to be baptized for the remission of her sins. She wanted to be saved. She wanted to be a part of God's family. So if you've not had a chance to meet her or to congratulate her before you leave today, be sure to get an opportunity to meet, congratulate, and to welcome to God's family, Sister Gail Page. Turn now in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua. I also remind you of the message in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I also want to read from Hebrews 11 and verse number 31. And I'm going to be coming back immediately to Joshua chapter 2. Hebrews 11 and verse 31. "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Rahab the harlot is enshrined with particular distinction in the great hall of the faithful. She evidenced belief in the great God of the universe, the creator and the maker of all things. She was familiar with the God who created the heavens and the earth. Brother Davis read for us verses 8 through 21 of Joshua chapter 2. I'd like to read some of these verses over for the sake of reemphasis, starting with verse number 9. Follow along with me, please. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Information had been disseminated abroad about this people that God had led from bondage in Egypt, and how he had dried up the bed of the sea and caused them to pass through safely from one side to the other. They were made aware of the military conquests of this great people of God. They were aware of the fact that the kings of the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan had been utterly defeated or destroyed, according to verse number 10. The Bible says in verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So we have clear evidence in this particular passage that Rahab had faith in God, that Rahab was convinced of the identity of God, and she acknowledged his awesomeness. She acknowledged and gave credence to his great power. And all of the folks in the land, all of the people of Jericho, their hearts melted within them. Courage was drained from their hearts. In verse number 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Can't you appreciate Rahab? Can't you appreciate the close sentimental ties that bound her heart to the hearts of her family members? Rahab was not just concerned about herself. She was not just interested in securing her own personal safety, security, and salvation. But I think it is a wonderful thing that she was commensurately concerned about the salvation of her father's house, of her brothers and sisters, and her mother and father, and everybody in her family. She wanted to see them saved as well. Isn't it a wonderful thing that she was concerned about their salvation? Similarly, each of us should be concerned about the salvation of each of our relatives, whether it's an aunt, whether it's an uncle, a nephew, a niece, a brother or sister or cousin or mother or father or child. We should be concerned about sharing the saving gospel message with each and every one of them. You know, folks that you love, you put forth every effort to share the saving message of the gospel with them. That's why Jesus did what he did. That's why God did what he did, because he loved us. God so loved the world. Not the cosmos, not the heavenly bodies, not the planets, not the stars, not this physical earth, but he loved men and women, boys and girls who populate the earth. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. God is concerned about the salvation of everybody because he loves everybody. This is a faithful saying. That God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering toward us, not that any should perish, or that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I believe that, of course, we need to preach the gospel to everybody. We need to preach the gospel to every race. J.M. McCaleb was right when he wrote the song. He was a great missionary to Japan. But when he wrote the song of one the Lord has made the race, through one has come the fall. Where sin has gone must go his grace. The gospel is for all. Say, not the heathen are at home, beyond we have no call. Must thou be saved and thou alone? The gospel is for all. The gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all. The gospel is for all. I want to see everybody saved. But you know who I want to see saved more than anybody? Was I want to be saved myself. Yes, I want to be saved, but I want to see my wife saved. I want to see my daughter saved. I want to see my brothers saved. I want to see my sisters saved. I want to see my nieces saved and my nephews saved and my cousins saved and my uncles saved and my aunts saved. I want all of my family, Eric, to be saved, especially. But not just them. I want everybody to be saved. But those who are especially close to us, we need to do everything within our power to see that they enjoy the salvation that is offered freely through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I have special appreciation for Rahab and for the concern she had for her family. The Bible says, Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 14, and the men answered her, our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. They said, now, we'll make sure, in essence, that you are saved if you don't utter our business, if you keep your mouth shut. See, there's a time to speak, and there's a time to remain silent. They let her know, now, if you'll keep our business private, then we will be sure, because you have dealt kindly with us. I have rather dealt kindly with you. I have shown you mercy. You must deal kindly with us as well. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, blessed are the merciful for what? They shall obtain mercy. She wanted to obtain mercy. She wanted her faith rewarded. The spies said, "Our life for yours. You'll cooperate with us. It shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Verse number 17, "And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, what we want you to do is we want you to bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, or scarlet, a crimson, a red rope. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto you." What he's saying here is, if you want your mother saved, you have to bring her into the house. If you want your father saved, you have to bring her into the house. If you want your nieces saved, you have to bring them into the house. If you want your nephews saved, you must bring them into the house. If you want any of your relatives saved, this is crucial. This is indispensable. You must bring them into the house. And not only must you bring them into your house, where safety is, where salvation is, where security is, but they must remain in your house. And it shall be in verse number 19, that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood will be on our head if any hand be upon him or if anything happens unto him. He says, long as you're in the house, you're safe. You're safe. As long as you're in the house, you're secure. So don't let anybody go out of the house when the destruction comes, because if you leave the house, you're lost. If you leave the house, you have left the place of safety. If you leave the house, you have left a place of security. If you leave the house, you have left a place of salvation. So if you want to be saved, and if you want your folks to be saved, you better stay in the house. You know, this really is a type of the church. If folks want to be saved, they have to get in the church. If folks want to be saved, they have to remain in the church. Which church, Brother Jones? The Lord's church. Which church? The church for which Jesus died. Which church? The church that is referred to as the one body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, and verse number 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Which body? The body of Christ. How many did he have? Just one. You know, now nobody in here would dispute that in order for Rahab's relatives to be saved, they had to be in her house. They had all kinds of houses in Jericho. Her house, as strange as it might appear or seem, was on the wall. And when the walls would come tumbling down, it seemed like her house would have been one of the first ones to fall. But the Lord had granted safety, security, and salvation in that house. And just like salvation was in that house, salvation is in the Lord's house. What is the Lord's house? The Lord's house is the church. Paul makes this plain. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. If you want to be saved, you need to be in the house, which is the church of the living God. Don't be found, don't be caught outside of the house. Don't be caught dead outside of the church of Christ, the body of Christ. That's the house where safety is. This is made plain in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The Bible says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you want to be saved, you need to be in the house. Now, the thing that impresses me is the fact that Rahab had such trustworthiness. Rahab had such credibility that her folks were persuaded by her testimony. Her folk were persuaded by the message of salvation she shared. And she was taking a chance. She was demonstrating a spirit of courage when she started to tell her folks, "Grandmama, if you want to be saved, honey, the Israelites are going to be marching around the walls and they're going to destroy this whole place. And the only place of safety, the only place of security is my house. And I have the word of two men, representatives of the nation of Israel. They are the servants of the God of heaven. I have their word that everything in Jericho is going to be destroyed. And if you want to be saved, Grandmama, from the destruction of the city, you must come into my house." You know, Granny could have said, "Well, my house is just as good as your house. One house is just as good as another." But she told Granny, she said, "Honey, if you want to be saved, you got to be in my house. Mama, if you want to be saved, you got to be in my house. Brother, if you want to be saved, you've got to be in my house. Sister, if you want to be saved, you've got to be in my house." They could have protested, "Well, what's so special about your house? Your house ain't no better than nobody else's house. My house is just as good as your house." Do you think that Grandmama and Mama and brother and sister and daddy and nieces and nephews and cousins and in-laws and outlaws, that they could have been saved in some other house? No, ma'am. No, sir. You had to remain in Rahab's house if you were to be saved. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No gainsaying, no contradiction. No one house as good as another. They became convinced. And I'd like to know personally, I probably never will, I'd like to know personally, what did Rahab tell those folk? And she not only had to tell them about what to do to be saved, but she had to also tell them, "Y'all be quiet. Don't you let the king know. Don't you let any of the public officials know what I have told you if you want to be saved. And sometimes it's hard to keep your mouth shut, isn't it? Sometimes it's just hard. You can't wait, especially if you got some good juicy gossip, something that you ain't got no business talking about or sharing. You can't wait to tell somebody. But she had to have sworn them to secrecy too, because the spies had said, if you utter this our business, it invalidates our covenant. And you're on your own. So y'all better hush. Y'all better be quiet if y'all want to be saved. And apparently they said something like this, yes, ma'am. They took her at her word. They believed her. She had credibility. She was like E.F. Hutton. When Rahab spoke, people listened. And it seems that her folk had enough faith, her folk had enough sense to take her at her word. And that word gave birth to faith in their hearts. And when the rubber met the road, not only was Rahab saved, but her folks, her kinfolks, her relatives were saved as well. Look with me as we conclude to chapter 6, verses 22 through 25. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, listen to this now, and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot and her father's house and all that she had. Notice, Joshua is the forerunner, the antitype, the prefigured Christ. Joshua and Jesus both mean salvation. And just like Joshua saved Rahab and her folks, Jesus saves us from our sins today. Before Jesus was born, the angels spoke to Joseph. In Matthew 1:21, said with reference to Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. If you wanted to be saved back during the days of Rahab, you had to be in one house, in her house. If you want to be saved today, you must be in one house, the one church for which Jesus died, the one church over which Jesus is the head, the one church for which Jesus is coming back, the one church of which Jesus is the foundation, the one church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. Don't let nobody fool you into believing that it doesn't make any difference what church you're in. Don't let nobody fool you into believing that one church is as good as another. Her kinfolk, Rahab's kinfolk, they had enough sense and enough faith to reject those arguments of damnation. One house was not good as another. You had to be in that one house if you wanted to be saved from destruction. Today, you have to be in the one house. Brother Jones, I want to be saved. Brother Jones, I want to be redeemed. I want to be in a place of safety, a place of security, a place of salvation. I want to be in the church of Christ. Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I don't know what to do. And you might be asking, but Brother Jones, what must I do in order that I can be in the church that you're talking to me about? How can I get in the church about which we read in the pages of the Bible? How can I get in the church that Jesus is the Savior? It's not hard, not difficult. It's not complicated, not complex. Very easy, very simple. All you have to do is hear the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, how he died for your sins and mine according to the scriptures, how he was buried in a borrowed tomb, how he arose from the grave on the third day, making our salvation possible. You've heard that good news. What do I need to do now? Believe it with all of your heart. Jesus says, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the same thing that Gail Page said she believed on yesterday before we baptized her. What else do I need to do? I've heard and I believe. So now you need to repent of all of your sins. Turn your back on everything you know to be wrong. Give up the practice of sinful behavior. Leave religious error behind and pledge that you're going to live for God. Jesus says, I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Paul said to the Areopagites of ancient Athens in Acts chapter 17 and verse 12, the Lord at one time winked at this ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Repenting means changing your mind towards sin and turning away from sin and pledging yourself to live for God from here on. Then make that wonderful confession. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can make that good confession today. Then be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And you can arise from the watery grave, ready to live a brand new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Will you get in the house today? Will you become a part of the church today? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You can gain entrance into the house where there is safety, the house where there is security, the house where there is salvation. If you're here and you're already a Christian, but you've fallen by the wayside, you can be restored today through repentance, confession, and prayer. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you might be healed. Will you come whether you're in either category as we together stand and as we sing. Let us sing.
God is calling a prodigal, come without delay. And hear, oh, hear him calling, calling now for thee. Although you wander so far from his presence today, hear his loving voice call his cheer. Calling now for thee. Tenderly still the plea, hear, oh, hear him calling, calling now for thee. Oh, return while the Spirit in mercy intercede, hear his loving voice, all is come.